TalkZone.com.
TalkZone presents the Geek Speak Radio Show with your hosts, Henry and Romo. Your top spot for everything entertainment and pop culture, including TV, movies, comics, casting news, and more. Now, here are your hosts, Henry and Romo.
Come back. Good looking up.
All right. It's like moths to the flame.
Yeah, I think that's what I got the idea, actually. That's the transformation effect, spelled T-R-A-N-C-E. And like the brothers mentioned, I think it was Colin or Greg we were talking to.
Mm-hmm.
That is what it looks like. Yeah, they probably got the idea from, you know, a moth drawn to a flame.
Yeah.
But I think it came out in the first teaser. We didn't see that. It wasn't until, like I mentioned to them, that I think the second or third trailer that came out, that when you first saw that effect, that's when, like, oh, I need to see this movie.
Yeah, the very first trailer, all you see is people being sucked up into the spaceship like it's a vacuum.
Yeah.
And they're like ants. I mean, it's a crazy movie because it makes me feel like, you know, we are not alone and we are just ants. You know, there's things out there that are, you know, it's a freaky movie. I mean, just the idea of it, the concept of it.
However, I do like the fact that, you know, I think it was Greg or Colin who just talked to you. They said that, they didn't come out and say it's being marketed wrong, but the marketing kind of throws you off a little, which could be a good thing, actually,
because mm-hmm.
you think you're going in there to see an alien invasion movie, but it's something completely different.
Yeah,
they described it as the way they thought of it when they were writing it with Liam and Joshua, the other two writers. It actually deals more with how would you react in that situation?
Well, how would you survive? Yeah. And that is a very, very important thing to understand. You saw a little bit of it in War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
But it was more like, I don't know, it just felt like it was like a war invasion.
I think we discussed this before.
Uh-huh.
Can you take away Tom Cruise and everything that's Tom Cruise away from the character he's playing in those kinds of movies? Or do you just see Tom Cruise?
I just see Tom Cruise. You know, I think that's the problem with that movie. I saw it in theaters. I liked it. I mean, but again, it was Tom Cruise. You know, like, it takes away that human element because everyone looks at him as a star. You know, it's that star power. So he overshadowed the whole movie itself.
See, and this goes back again to a conversation we had with Jeff Loeb, and I think Paul Dini also mentioned it when he was on. It's the characters. If you care about the characters, then there you go. You're invested in the show or the movie, whatever you're watching. And War of the Worlds, quite honestly, I connected more with the son than with Dakota Fanning or the Tom Cruise character.
That's true. But speaking about characters for Skyline, we got Eric Balfour.
Yeah.
So, and then we also have David Zayas.
Yeah.
He's in Skyline. He was also in Dexter. He plays Detective Bautista, and then he's also in The Expendables. He was General.
There are actors in this movie.
Yeah, he was General Garza. So I'm really excited to see David in the movie, and also you got Donald from Scrubs. I mean,
Donald Faison.
Yeah, so it's gonna be a fun. Not
you also have
fun,
females in this,
but
not all guys. You also have Scotty Thompson and Brittany Daniel.
Yeah,
also in.
But you got a good lineup of actors. I mean, for me, David Zayas is one of my favorite actors. So I'm excited because it's not like we were talking before. It's not going to be overshadowed by the star power of some big celebrity name. So I'm really excited about Skyline because it does have that independent feel to it. So, and you know, it's done by Hydraulics. They did everything. It's their movie.
One of the first shots in one of the teasers that they did it kind of reminded me for a quick second of District 9. And when I first saw the I think it was when we went to see Devil or Last Action, one of those movies that we went to see. That's when we first saw the teaser for it. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I got excited for like 2 seconds until I realized there was something else. I thought it was a District 9 Part 2 coming out. But then the more I got into, especially with that second one or third one trailer when you actually got to see the transformation, I said, oh, I'm there. Cause that had never been done. You know, you've seen Close Encounters, the first one. You've seen the kid getting dragged out. Well, you didn't see
him
get dragged out.
You see the light.
Yeah, and then the one that you call, what is it called? Fire in the Sky.
Fire in the Sky.
Yeah, that's another one about alien abductions. So we've seen these before,
mm-hmm.
but it's never been like this kind of effect.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned something really important with District 9. I mean, me personally, I wasn't, not to say I wasn't a big hit for me. I was a fan, but I just was not. It was all right, but
yeah, I've said it before. I'll say it again.
Yeah,
when District 9 came out, it was kind of like The Last Exorcism. I saw a generational gap there.
Yeah,
people from my generation loved District 9. Well,
I didn't like it, but this is it because the way it was shot. But what I want to get addressed is the fact that it's an alien invasion kind of a movie. I don't even know what they were supposed to. I think they were just they just crashed here and needed a place to.
And again, like we were going to talk about this before the brothers came on, but real quick, to you, some modern classic. What are some of your best your favorite?
All right.
Alien invasion movies.
Independence Day would have to be up there. This is my number one.
Hold on, I'll go with the original where that was based on War of the Worlds, original one.
Yeah.
Not the Tom Cruise one.
Well, are you talking about the radio one?
That is the original, but also the original broadcast and the movie that came out.
All right, so then there's V, the TV show.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing that pops in my mind as far as currently what's happening right now.
Another one for me, again, the original, not the Keanu Reeves one, the Day the Earth Stood Still. Why can't I talk about that one, John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah.
That's another one.
You got one right now, The Event. That's kind of along the lines as far as, you know, aliens and...
Well, it hasn't been confirmed, although we finally got some confirmation the last time it was on that we are dealing with aliens.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Producer Dave, actually, he messaged me during the break. Two that he put in is The Arrival and The Hidden. The Hidden, I don't remember. I think I saw The Arrival. I had forgotten about that, starring Johnny Depp. That one is a very good one also.
You got a Netflix that.
Yeah. Cloverfield, you mentioned.
Yeah.
I guess it could be considered an alien invasion.
It's more of a survival, I guess. But you see the destruction of what, you know, like we were going to see in Skyline, the destruction of what aliens could do to us. I mean, that's what's kind of frightening to see, because it's not just a movie. It's a great sci-fi story, and it raises that social awareness question. It brings out the what if question. For me, I mean, for all the fans out there, too.
This is another one that hasn't come out yet. As a matter of fact, the effects on this were done by the Brothers Strauss. And I didn't ask them because it gets a little touchy. It's called Battlefield Los Angeles. Comes out next year, starring Aaron Eckhart. Michelle Rodriguez is in it also. It gets touchy because Sony Pictures sued Hydraulics because, like I said, they did the effects. The brothers did the effects for it. And Sony accused them, the brothers, of using some of the effects and some of the ideas for Battlefield Los Angeles for this one, for Skyline, which I've seen scenes and some behind the scenes stuff on Battle Los Angeles. Doesn't look anything like Skyline at all.
Maybe it's just that the studio is so jealous that Skyline's better than that movie.
But, well, I mean, they're not going to come out and say it, but that's the reason. They know that this is going to take its thunder.
Yeah.
And Battlefield Los Angeles is not going to be compared to Skyline.
Yep, I agree.
Which, I mean, that was going to happen anyway, but although, quite honestly, I don't think so, because wait until next year when you guys see this. It is too completely Skyline takes place all over. This one, obviously, is just the invasion just takes place in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Another one, you mentioned The Event. Another one is you brought Signs. This one up, Starship Troopers.
Oh, that one too? Yeah.
And like I said, I don't remember if we saw the bugs. I mentioned we did because we see Casper Van Dien's character's homeland get destroyed. So it did come to Earth. So it is an alien invasion one. Signs, you also mentioned. That was another good one. I mentioned The Arrival and The Hidden from Producer Dave. Producer Dave also says They Live was also a good alien invasion.
There was another alien movie that we were talking about where Signs actually got the story from. I think that's the sign. There's a scene where the birthday party where the alien walks by.
Well, that wasn't a movie. That was actually somebody brought it up. I remember who. I think it was Ed Martinez or somebody. Uh-huh. It was it wasn't on YouTube. It was just going around, you know, like people had it somewhere because this is back from the, you know, late 80s into the early 90s.
Yeah.
There was a hoax going around that there was a birthday party and somebody had caught footage of an alien.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that found footage of Bigfoot, which was later proven to be
a hoax.
Yeah. But that's where they got that one scene from where the kid is having a birthday party and you see the alien in the background. that's where that came from.
Yeah, I mean, aliens in general are this movie's going to be a sci-fi thriller for me. I mean, just the idea of aliens is scary enough.
Yeah, like I told the brothers, the way they described it when we started the interview a few minutes ago, it actually, I got even more interested in, because like I said, if I care about the characters, that's an even better movie. I mean, the effects, everything is going to blow you out of the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, if you look up at the light. But the fact that you're going to care what, if these characters survive or don't survive, because if you, you know, again, back to what Jeff Loeb and Paul Dini said, if you don't care about the characters, if you see, you know, Donald Faison or Eric Balfe or any of them get sucked up by the light, you don't care.
Let me ask you this. If an alien invasion happens right now, where would you go to survive?
Underground.
Underground?
Yeah.
Or towards the water, like in Signs?
Unless it's small men who are invading, then I wouldn't go underground.
All right.
No, but it depends on, you know, depends on what they come from. I mean,
I'll take the high grounds, go to
alien,
the woods.
Alien invasion.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what, you just assume that they're coming for us.
Yeah.
They could be coming for our gas, our oil, our water, mm-hmm. our foods, our candy even. Yeah, it doesn't have to be us. We're just in their way.
Well, maybe. I mean, one thing that it's always touched upon in these films is that they had to leave their hometown because their hometown they had to leave their planet because of natural resources not being there. So they come to our planet because they need something. So, I mean, one thing I love about Skyline, the promotion of it was in the trailer, as far as how Christopher Columbus, you know, they say about it, like when Christopher Columbus first came over here. You know, it's kind of like the idea that as far as that we are.
Wait, who are you talking about? What movie?
No, I'm talking about Skyline.
Yeah.
Inside the beginning of the trailer, when I think it's on the news where I think Dan Rathers is talking, and he's mentioning Christopher Columbus first settling here, and how, you know.
I know what you're talking about. I think it's one of the first trailer that came out that I don't think is out anywhere, probably on the internet somewhere. But it's a report by Dan Rather where he's saying that a lot of people think that just like when Christopher Columbus came to America, it'll have the same effect. Not a very good ending.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
Thank you.
But that's the Skyline. Just talked to the brothers, Straws, the directors and producers, Greg and Colin. Skyline, as everybody knows, opens next Friday, not this Friday, next Friday, November 12th, theaters everywhere. We're all going to be there. What does open this Friday, however, is something that we also talked about. Comedies that shouldn't be in 3D, but comedies. This one has RDJ. We know who that is.
Yeah.
Zach Galifianakis, and directed by Todd Phillips, director of The Hangover.
Yeah.
It's called Due Date. It comes out this Friday, and you know, you've seen the trailers. These two are just funny on their own.
I don't want to see Zach's beard in 3D.
Yeah. But like I said, these two are just funny on their own. Let me take a quick break right now. When we come back, there was a press conference in LA for Due Date.
Uh-huh.
I have all the audio, and listening to those two, it's just as funny as watching the movie. You'll see what I mean in just a few minutes. So here's the Buzz Report. We'll be back, and you can hear RDJ and Zach Galifianakis.
This is the Geek Speak Radio Show Buzz Report for Wednesday, November 3rd. Here's what's buzzing right now. Paramount has moved the release date for True Grit from Christmas Day to December 22nd. The Jack Black adventure comedy Gulliver's Travels and Little Fockers will also open on December 22nd. Al Pacino, Susan Sarandon, and Eva Green have signed on to star in the financial thriller Arbitrage, which is written and directed by Nicholas Jarecki. Al Pacino plays a hedge fund magnate who is in over his head and desperate to complete the sale of his trading empire to a major bank before his fraud is revealed. But an unexpected bloody error forces him to turn to the most unlikely corner for help. There was a tweet from, of all people, a cab driver, who said he had just driven Hugh Jackman from the X-Men First Class set to the airport, so therefore, he was sure that Hugh was playing Wolverine in First Class. Producer Bryan Singer said in the interview that no, neither Hugh Jackman nor Wolverine are in X-Men First Class. See why I don't follow tweets? Hugh Jackman is, however, attached to star as Harry Houdini in a musical written by Aaron Sorkin. Lyricist Glenn Slater and Tony Award-winning director Jack O'Brien are also attached to the project. Director Rob Cohen is developing an action-adventure series for ABC about a group of old-school CIA operatives who won the Cold War in the 80s but were then forced out due to budget cuts in the early 90s. Now they've been recruited back to work for their country by the Chief of Special Activities Division, a go-getter young woman who is also the team leader's estranged daughter. Eli Roth and Eric Newman, the team behind The Last Exorcism, are teaming up again for a movie called Psycho Killer. Gavin Pallone, producer of Zombieland, is set to direct. The story centers on a serial killer who is traveling across the U.S., happily slaughtering away. His fun comes to a halt when he picks the wrong target. He decides to kill a highway patrolman in Nebraska one night. The murder is witnessed by the patrolman's wife, who is a police officer, and she decides to go after him. A talented up-and-coming new actress is rumored to be up for the role of the wife. That's what's buzzing right now, and that's the Geek Speak Radio Show Buzz Report.
Geek Speak Radio Show will be right back. Streaming 24/7, on-demand archives, podcasts, and more. TalkZone.com. TalkZone.com. Saying a lot for planet Earth. And now, more of the Geek Speak Radio Show on TalkZone.com. Here's Henry and Romo.
Okay, so let me set it up real quick. Again, this is a press conference for Due Date, which comes out this Friday, the 5th, starring RDJ, Robert Downey Jr., Zach Galifianakis, Michelle Moynihan, and directed by Todd Phillips. So the press conference is Zach Galifianakis, Michelle Moynihan, and director Todd Phillips. This is covered again by Steve Weintraub from Collider. Yeah, he gets around a lot. That's why he's pretty good at what he does. So again, from Collider.com, this is the press conference for Due Date.
This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Okay, welcome to the cast and crew, the filmmakers of Due Date. And we're going to go ahead and open the questions with question number one.
Yes, hi, my name is Teresa. I would like to know, this is for Zach and Robert. The slogan that you're using is leave your comfort zone. Which one is your comfort zone?
Which one?
Robert, Zach?
My comfort zone is press conferences.
Perfect.
Conversely, mine actually is press conferences.
Thank you.
Okay. We have the second question was right
away. Hi, Michelle, you're reunited here with Robert Downey for the first time since Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Can you talk about what's been your life for the two of you since then? You see each other very often and why you wanted to do this movie. And Robert, Zach was very funny in Toronto talking about the two alpha males, you and Todd,
yeah.
Creating this movie as he sat and watched. Can you talk about the character and how he developed for this?
You first, lady.
Yeah, obviously, I'm very, very excited and jumped at the opportunity to work with Robert again.
She did us a favor.
Yeah, yeah, no. You know, I adore Robert. I had such an amazing experience on Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, so this was really exciting for me. And obviously, I'm a huge fan of Todd, and Zach's all right. So I was very excited, and yes, I do get to see Robert occasionally. It's a nice month to see.
Yeah.
Robert?
Yeah. I got it pretty good, and I don't want to offend our spouses, but I'd love to have a baby with Michelle.
In creating this character?
In preparation for the character. So I missed the shot to do it. I should have tried it 9 months ago.
Zach, is this character closer to your stand-up persona than the other film characters you played?
No, I don't think Ethan Tremblay is anything like me. I kind of hope not. My stand-up is more like how I am in real life. I don't really do a character thing in stand-up. It's just a bunch of sentences that are supposed to be funny. This Ethan guy is a lot more complicated, I think.
So there's a reason he says random sentences that end up being funny.
Yes. Yes.
Which is?
Oh, are you, do you want me to perform right now?
Your take on the character, what are his reasons?
Well, his reasons are not intentional, I think. I mean, when you're doing stand-up, you're kind of doing, hey, I thought of this. This may be funny. But Ethan has no idea he's being funny. And I think people that are not self-aware and kind of a truck with no brakes is really kind of funny. He's saying things, but he doesn't understand why they're funny, which I think is inherently funny.
This is for Robert. How much fun was it to go punch that kid and, you know, working with kids in general?
I love that we've actually gotten more pushback from spitting in a dog's face than from punching a human child in the stomach. Those were the two things Todd told me to do, both of them, and one of them he said on the day, he said, you should just spit in that dog's face. And I was like, yeah, yeah. Anyway, he goes, no, I want you to spit in the dog's face. I said, that's so definitive. He goes, I know, but I think people will like you enough. Or I don't know if they will, just spit in his face. And he loves dogs, and I actually don't like dogs, so I felt kind of horrible. and Spundrous doing it. There was a question there somewhere, but I'm sure whatever I said was far more entertaining.
Well, Zach, did you have a problem with the spitting in the dog's face? That was your dog.
Jesus Christ, dude, answer the question.
Maybe.
Yes or no? A dog made you sick.
I didn't like the dog. I don't think we need to. That doesn't mean it's okay to spit. Robert spit in my face every morning. Plus, the dog and I have a certain bond.
Masturbation.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I'm not bringing the room down too much, but this movie is really about fatherhood, becoming a father, losing a father. Can you guys talk about that a little bit?
Well, yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. You know, while it is a road movie and it is a comedy at its core, it's a movie about, you know, Zach who's going through a trauma, Zach's character, Ethan Tremblay, having just lost his father, and Robert who's about to become the father for the first time, and kind of why they needed to meet at this moment and why Robert needed to travel with this kind of man-child who was going through this traumatic experience, but really is a purely loving creature, much like a child would be, just needed some adjustments, I guess, and yeah.
But why did that story resonate with you and with you guys?
Don't answer that, Todd.
I refuse to answer that question.
I'll tell you. No, it actually is very personal, maybe. But
no, I mean, I think it's just an interesting take on, you know, for me personally, it was, you know, it's an interesting movie to make. I tend to make films about, you know, I started making movies about college kids. I sort of grow with my movies. They're sort of always about my age range, it feels, and, you know, that's sort of, you know, the next step in life, having a kid or what have you, and fatherhood. So it just seemed like an interesting thing to mine, both for emotion and for comedy.
Actually, sort of a follow-up for that, Robert. I wondered if maybe you were channeling a bit of Todd in this, or the look for your character.
I'm actually glad you asked that, because I think that every time I feel that I really hit critical mass and I'm in the right place is when I feel like the director and I become a third thing, and that's the character. And even though the central subject of the movie is Ethan, the person who you're kind of seeing it through is Peter. And absolutely, and particularly when he said, this is just a lot of hostility and there's a lot of fear, and his kind of attitude and his anger is covering that fear and stuff. And we like to commiserate. We're genuinely pretty happy guys, but we love just getting crabby together. And you remember that, don't you? And he is kind of like a hostage child that we've taken, who's watching mom and dad or dad and dad nowadays,
right,
just hash it out. You're the first person who's asked that, and I think it's absolutely true. I always feel like I'm playing an aspect of the director, particularly when he's an auteur and when it's a way of almost making him a proud parent. I'm a bit of an appendage of some aspect of the director.
Guy Ritchie,
yes. I just say yes to Guy Ritchie. Yeah, Guy in a way, a bit more of the kind of British, you know, smart fighter type thing.
For the cast and for the crew, the film evokes, in a not unwelcome way, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and its pairing and its plot. I'm curious what classic road film you all were thinking of as sort of mental templates or inspiration for the feel of the film.
Well, I'll go first and I'll just say, you know, the movie we talked about most, oddly, was Rain Man. I see that to me is a road movie and a great road movie. And that was a movie that came up a lot, as well as Midnight Run. Of course, there are comparisons.
Midnight Run,
but there's comparisons with Planes, Trains, and Tommy Boy, and other things. But I think the movie we talked about most was Rain Man.
And Michelle was saying Wages of Fear quite a bit too. Did you say something about that?
I did.
Hope these guys don't blow up the studio. Your ridiculous notions.
The Riders, you guys. I mean,
well, when Alan and I were thinking a lot of road movies, but Midnight Run was absolutely one that we thought about. And get two characters who are opposite of each other, and they're stuck in a very high pressure situation and a very out of their comfort zone, and you get to reveal love of character in those situations.
Well, of course, Michelle, you're only seeing
in person, was it a, kind of an interesting predicament for you? I mean, you're on this table, legs up, so on, and you've got...
Been there, done that. No. No.
Just me.
This isn't Weird Science. She's not Kelly LeBrock. Everybody isn't off the way they used to. Let's be civil about this. Sorry, Alan. Alan Nirob, I'm sorry. Clean that shit up later.
It's hard to follow that. First, Todd and Robert and Zach, can you talk a little bit about how you worked out or developed scenes together on this, and also if it does resonate with audiences, would you like to see a franchise out of this, or are your franchise dance cards full?
Yeah, well, I mean, the way we worked it out is the way I've done it on all my movies, but this film in particular had an interesting process because Robert has a very producerial brain. He is basically another writer in the room. Zach is really an empty vessel, and he just sits and waits. But Robert and I had lots of spirited discussions every morning about, you know, we had the pages, and he'd go, okay, what are we really doing? And, you know, not to discredit the writing process, which I was part of too, but we would just...
It's a great script, which made me hate it all the more.
Yeah, Robert has an aversion to things that are typed. So even if we just rewrote the actual scene...
Well done, by the way, fellas.
If we just rewrote it on a napkin, even if it was the same scene, he felt better about it. But no, we took it apart, and Robert... The great thing about Robert is he constantly... And I've said this before, he made me a better director, and the reason for that is he's constantly challenging what we're doing every day in the larger, bigger picture of it. A lot of times, you know, you hear about actors and they're worried about their lines and their thing. And Robert thinks of the movie as a whole. He thinks of every character in the movie as a whole. And that's what I mean by producerial kind of approach to it. And for me, it was an unequaled experience. I just never experienced anything like it. And I don't know. I think that was the process. You witnessed a lot of it.
Yeah, I think each morning was there was a meeting. I would read the minutes from the last meeting. Todd yells. Robert yells back. Let's get on with the new meeting. No, there was a discussion for at least about an hour each morning, it seemed like, sometimes longer.
Sometimes three.
Yeah, and it really helped it. It really did. And as far as the franchise stuff goes, we were kind of fantasizing at the last day. It was the last day of certainly that I was working. I can't remember, but it was also towards the last scene, or it was the last scene at the hospital. There's a moment, and I don't know if you recall, where Ethan says to Peter, "Call me."
Okay. Yeah.
And then I'm like, "No, call me tomorrow," or whatever I said. And we were fantasizing, like, I've never seen a movie jump genres. So the sequel would be more like a Cape Fear thing, where my character is actually not dumb at all. It's just been an
elaborate ruse
this whole time.
I like
I'm there
that.
To stalk,
I mean,
Robert's family.
I mean, I also think what I thought you were going to say and what would be interesting is you just pick it up literally from the minute later. You know what I mean? Like, instead of jumping a month or a year, it's literally like from that moment you left.
Yeah,
right.
That would be fun.
That would be great.
There you go. That's how ideas work.
Can we hear from you on that, about the franchise and also about the process?
Yeah, that's what I need, is three franchises so I can utterly have a personality meltdown and no real life. But I would do it with these guys. I have to say, too, there was something so cathartic about, and as we all know from both the writers and Michelle peripherally and our involvement in it, but I think just it was the most healing project I've ever worked on, and I've never come up against anyone who is so confident and so thoughtful and so spontaneous that it's not even daunting. He's just in a class by himself, and I think Todd is the best director I've ever worked with, bar none.
Oh, did you all get that?
And don't forget about the part before that. Which I thought he was talking about you the whole time. And then he switched over.
Okay, this was
question is for the writers. It's a great story, but I see a lot of similarities with some other comedies, like a strong friendship between men that causes your partner and stuff like that. Is part of compassion, like a new comedy, the new American comedy or something like that?
You repeat the last part?
I see a lot of similarities with some other comedies that I have seen lately. Mm.
So buddy movies as kind of a new genre for American film,
basically.
If it's a new genre, it's been a while. I think that there's certainly with The Hangover, there's been a lot of attention to it recently. It's been very successful, but I don't know if it's new.
Yeah, I mean, I think, the buddy comedy has been around for a long time just because there's always great comedies to be mined from two guys in conflict. And, Todd always, from the beginning, summed this movie up best when he said it's a buddy comedy without the buddies. And I feel like that's really what it comes down to. It's two guys stuck together that have anti-chemistry. You know, they're just, at every step of the way, they have completely different worldviews and are totally at odds. And, that's always a great place. That kind of conflict, I think, always creates great comedy.
Did you write Todd in, or did he write himself in the script, this scene?
I'm going to answer it because, I did. We did write her. I wrote myself in that morning. It was never in there.
By the way, what is it that you're whispering to Juliette Lewis? I've been trying to quote it verbatim.
That is called great acting. It's understated.
Unintelligible, yet, to me, the best single line in the movie, even because I can't even tell you what you're saying.
I said, did you remember to tape Judge Mathis? And she says, yeah, it's on there. I just look on the menu. I'm like, that's it.
So again, that is the due date press conference from LA yesterday from Steve Weintraub from Collider.com. We'll continue with the rest of it. It is a fun one. We'll continue with the rest of it when we come back.
Geekspeak Radio Show will be right back.
This is the future.
TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio.
The first step on the road back to reality.
You're listening to the Geekspeak Radio Show on TalkZone.com.
And we're back on the Geekspeak Radio Show, again, listening to the due date press conference. Due date is due this Friday on November 5th, out in theaters, starring Zach Galifianakis and Robert Downey Jr., directed by Todd Phillips, director of The Hangover. So this is the press conference from L.A. from Steve Weintraub on Collider.com. Let's go back to it.
This is a Collider.com audio interview.
A question for Mr. Downey. Often modern protagonists get sanded down and focus group into this kind of vanilla blandness.
Yeah.
Was it refreshing and a pleasure to play somebody with so many real yet repellent moments in their arc?
Absolutely. And I don't know why, but it was an invitation to me to get in touch with everything that annoys me about everyone and all and all the fear I have about everything that everybody can relate to. So in a way, I felt like I was a conduit to this. It wasn't very pleasant to pull that. Sorry, by the way. I feel that this is the second greatest story ever told.
The first.
Oh, come on. The Bible.
Going back to what you were just saying, can you talk a little bit about Juliette Lewis? Because she's had a great year of cameos, and if you do the Cape Fear thing, would she be?
She would, but I don't think Zach could fit his finger in her mouth.
Does he have a spoon?
I love. No,
wait, you got to hand him the baton there. Do you want a piano?
At least my father didn't leave me.
Oh.
Okay, the news is out. That's what the father issue is about. There it is.
No, I love Juliette Lewis, and she's been in three of my movies now, or four, and she's one of those people, and Michelle's the same way, quite honestly. This movie's about these two guys, and the other parts in the film aren't a huge deal, aren't huge pieces, and Robert said it best. Michelle did us a favor. She came in. And she worked for those days, and she brought what she brings, and she's amazing. But and Juliet, the same thing. Jamie Foxx, Danny McBride. I like to think they're actors. They like to play. So if it's a 2-day part for Juliet or a 1-day part for Danny McBride, you call them up and they say, "Hey, I'm doing this great thing with Robert and Zach. Would you come down and just f*** around for the day? We're gonna have fun." And I think, you know, ultimately that's how it works. But Juliet in particular is just stupendous, and she's sort of sunshine to me when I look at her, and I think she brings so much to, you know, small roles and large roles.
I love how riveted she is by your monologue, too. You'd have thought she was hearing, like, Olivier break one on. She's just, like, mystified.
Good morning. This is for Todd and Zach, and I'm very tempted to ask a Mel Gibson question, but instead I'm going to look to the future. And there was a note in Details magazine that you mentioned about a John Belushi project with possibly Zach involved, and that's just a delicious prospect. I wonder if you could both talk about that for a moment, of what that would mean to get that made.
Well, it's not something Zach and I have really talked about, and I didn't know I don't know that I ever said, you know, here's the deal, I'm not going to Zach with it, and I'm feeling good now. No, the truth is that's a project that I'm kidding.
And who is that casting choice?
Anybody but Zach. No, the truth is that's a project, like a lot of projects you're developing, you're talking about. I'm working with this phenomenal writer, Steve Conrad, who wrote Pursuit of Happiness, and Zach honestly is the guy we talk about, but Zach and I haven't spoken about it. It's so in its nascent stages that I'm not sure, you know, when that thing comes to fruition, if Zach would be interested or what, you know, so we'll see.
Robert, with upcoming news, how do you feel about Iron Man 3 going to Disney?
Love it. What does that mean?
That it'll be released under Disney's deal with Marvel.
Well, you know what? I really loved our relationship with Paramount, but to me the main thing, I don't care about any of that. They're going to make all those moves. I just want to make a great movie. And thanks to my tutelage under two guys who know how to play with power, Zach and Todd, I know exactly what to do with Iron Man 3.
I love it.
That was almost mad with power. Mind delivery. Thank you.
Did you want to take the next question?
Hi. I'd like to ask about Benson, the robot and Zach's character. They kind of doesn't match each other in the first place, but it's kind of, you know, the friendship built up. So do you guys have any kind of, now it's friend, but used to be kind of, like this kind of relationship that you guys have? And what's the definition of friendship.
Mm-hmm. To me, friendship means loving tolerance.
I think Robert and I formed a friendship on this movie, and albeit a very antagonistic but fun relationship. It's he's really kind of very, very funny, and he makes fun of people a lot for some reason. I like to be made fun of, even if it has to do with my fingers not fitting in someone's mouth. That's really hilarious.
Okay. This is for Todd and Robert and Zach. People get hired and fired from movies all the time. Can I get a reaction to how big that whole thing blew up? For The Hangover
2? Just to clarify, no one was ever fired. It's a term that is so obscene to me. Someone was doing me a favor to come in for a 2-minute cameo, and we changed it. I mean, it wasn't like we fired somebody. He was doing a favor from the beginning, you know what I'm saying?
So did the papers get it wrong?
Well, yeah, I mean, if they're using the term fired, that's
shocking.
Yeah, to use the term fired in that situation, it's certainly not that, you know.
I like the hired aspect. I mean, how'd you get Liam Neeson? I just don't think of him as a Hangover kind of guy.
Well, you know, as with the intention with Mel, it's the scene is not maybe what you expect in The Hangover. The Hangover 2 will be an epic comedy, but not every scene, just like the first one, is full of comedy. This had a little bit of gravity to it, and I thought both guys really can add that gravity, and you know, and that was where we're at.
That'll be fine. Okay, where's
for Zach, how was it being on the set of the greatest television sitcom of all time, Zodiac Men? And while we're on the topic, any advice for Charlie Sheen right now?
I've only heard a little bit about what happened with Charlie Sheen. I want to congratulate him from what I've heard. It's nice. now that the holiday season's coming up. But that sitcom acting is tough. You have to hit your mark. It's a tough thing to do, the sitcom.
I'm sorry, you have to hit your marks? That's the challenge?
It was a lot. It was a lot that day for you to memorize and do right on the spot. We showed up and we were shooting it 15 minutes later, and it was a little bit Zach getting thrown into
their
world.
You did a great
job.
As a matter of fact, within the context of that show, I thought it was a very strong cameo.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to be at it all next season. So.
Those guys at Two and a Half Men were just great to have us, and they understood sort of the tone of the movie and take part in it. It was really fun to do.
Question for Zach and Robert. Robert, could you talk a little bit about how Sherlock 2 is going, as well as will you be in Gravity? And Zach, there's an internet viral video going around of an internet interview with you with this Dallas morning like talk show guy, and it's very reminiscent of Between Two Ferns. If that was real or if that was staged.
Okay. Well, I don't want to waste time talking about other projects. Sherlock 2 is fantastic. We had this idea that we were going to do some viral videos to promote the movie, and then we could barely hit our ass with both hands just to even show up and do the regular press. But the idea was that we were going to have this double inner monologue going about, and we were going to walk down Venice Beach and out to the sand and shake hands and then walk away from each other, and then that would only take an hour to shoot, and then we were going to lay the most awesome double internal voiceover over it, and it would have been, we'll never get to it, the greatest viral video of all time. So just imagine that we had had the time, space, or where we want to do that. And we're happy to comment on that because we'd like to know what it would have been.
As far as that video, I don't want to give away the thing. I think sometimes that spoils it if you know.
Mr. Galifianakis and Mr. Downey, which of you would be more likely to break up horribly in the middle of a take? And after each of you give your justifications, I'd like Mr. Phillips to weigh in with the verdict.
By the way, let me just thank you for standing up each time that you ask me that. Shows a bit of respect. But you stand up so quickly and so much energy, I forget the question. So can you read?
Who's more likely to break up in the midst of a take?
Let me put it this way. I'm 85 times more professional than Zach.
That's, you know.
But I also I was hoping that we'd have some good gag reels, so maybe I'd chuckle a little bit more. He might not actually know how funny he is sometimes too.
Yeah, and Zach doesn't really break up. He just goes, he'll read his line halfway and then he goes and start it, right?
He has a ghastly tick. It's my favorite thing about him, to tell you the truth, particularly when we're doing press and it takes him 45 years to answer one question. And he's trying to think about what the answer is, and then he stutters, and then he judges himself, and he starts over.
And he starts over. And that would make Robert laugh.
Sonny, stop it. We're going to be late. I'm sorry. Sonny, late it. We're going to be Sonny, stop it. Stop it, Sonny. Stop it, Sonny. We're going to be late. Stop it, Sonny. And I'm there. The film is just rolling, and I'm just like, this is an anthropological study. I've never seen fucking anything like it. And now what are we supposed to do? What's my reaction? When will you be done? That will be my cue. It's indeterminable.
I know my face is turning red. I don't want you to interpret it as being embarrassed. It's rage. The color of my face is rage.
Colin, Zach, can you talk a little bit about the opportunity that's been opened up for you as with the success of The Hangover? And then also, Zach, I saw your character being portrayed at Halloween last year and also at the Flaming Lips concert I went to last year. Can you talk about sort of that iconic character being in Halloween
costume? I was in Albuquerque. We were shooting a due date in Albuquerque last year for Halloween, and I went to a Halloween party. I didn't really know anybody. I went up with a couple of people from work. And I was just dressed as, you know, like this. And there was a guy there dressed as the character from The Hangover. And I thought it would be interesting to walk up to him and say, hey, you're dressed as me. I'm the real person. And he goes, yeah, right. And he just walked away. So that's right. a bit freaky. As far as the opening, what was the first part of the?
Opening up opportunities.
Well, Todd has told me of late that I've never thanked him for anything, and I'm here to say that I'm probably not going to do it today. In all honesty, it's strange to have a little bit of Todd helped me he took a chance, I think, in plucking me out of the stand-up scene. And, you know, nobody knows a movie's going to be so big, and we just kind of got lucky, and I'm thrilled that it happened.
For Robert, the Peter character seems to have an awful lot of insight into, for an architect, an awful lot of insight into acting, and I wondered if that might have been part of his background. But also, thinking about your character in Tropic Thunder, you seem to take great joy in puncturing the images that actors have. Is there?
I think Todd and I said that his neighbor was a casting director, so he wanted, you know what I mean? So it's just like I tell you about like when the Guggenheim opened in, you know, 59 or whatever it was, 69, you tell me about what's going on casting your show and everyone wants to be an actor. But everybody knows that everybody who thinks they want to be an actor and has no chops and is going out of the, I think I'm worried for him. So my fear that this moron that I'm stuck with is actually, I actually trying to give him some insight. I'm just mad at him when I give it. But also, I mean, it was a bit, this is a disgusting thing to say, and it's, it speaks to my, it's not as bad now, but my hugely inflated ego at the time. I felt it was my duty to teach this guy to act. But he already knew how. But I taught him.
Last question.
Oh. Zach, we all know you as a comedic actor, but you get a pretty shockingly powerful scene in this film in particular. Was it hard to switch gears to play that scene?
Do you mean Dan Corleone?
Corleone. Corleone is great. Good. Are you Dan Corleone?
No, it's not. It's fun to do. I think probably editorially it might be difficult to put together, but I don't know. If you can make people like a bit emotional watching a scene and then make them laugh prior to that, I think that's just, you don't see it that often. And I think Todd got it right. But the whole thing about that scene, the bathroom scene, I guess is what you're talking about, is to me, it's not so much what Ethan does. It's the look on Robert's face that I think sells that. As Robert told me yesterday.
Well, it's true. It's not the action, it's the reaction. And Robert is watching this all happen. And to me, I agree with that. It's just all on Robert's face as he realizes, wait a minute, this guy's actually going through trauma and having a breakdown. So it's very cool to watch.
Well, in summary then, Todd, do you think your actors, the whole process, did everyone leave their comfort zone?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know that Robert leaves his comfort zone, because I think Robert's capable of anything, quite honestly, as an actor. And I think even, you know, Zach has so much that we haven't even seen yet, even in Due Date or in his other roles. So I don't know that we left our comfort zone. I do think what Zach just touched on is the key to Due Date, which is it is the movie takes these tonal shifts that I don't think you see in a ton of comedies, which for me was the fun part of making it, the challenging part of directing it. And I think for these guys, you know, possibly the challenging part of doing it, where, you know, you're in a bathroom scene, he has a breakdown, this guy's actually feeling emotional, the next scene he's masturbating with his dog. And the audience to stay with us and stay on that ride is what makes the movie connect and work. So that's what I'm most proud of with Due Date.
Well said. Thank you very much.
Thank you one and all.
Michelle, can you talk a little bit about Somewhere, Robert? What you doing there? Has it been easy to get back into Sherlock?
Sequels are always tough, but we got a great group. And I don't know that we're doing that today. But we're 3 weeks in, and it's already pretty fantastic.
I wanted to know. There's a lot of talk about Gravity, though. I'm really hoping that comes together with you in it. Are you going to be in it? I don't know.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. How exciting is the dynamic with Moriarty?
No.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, nice to see you, sir.
All good.
Thanks again to Steve Weintraub from Collider.com for all the interviews today with Dwayne Johnson earlier, last hour. You all right over there?
I'm fine.
And also for this one, again, yeah, Due Date, the press conference happened in L.A. I think it was yesterday. So there you go.
Yeah.
You had heard a lot of interviews today. Heard from the Brothers Straws. Skyline comes out not this Friday, next Friday. Due Date comes out this Friday. And I think I just confused everybody out there. But everybody listening to the show, you know when these movies come out, especially Skyline. You know, we're waiting for that one. Due Date, like I said, that stars Robert Downey Jr., Zach Galifianakis, Michelle Moynihan, and directed by Todd Phillips, director of The Hangover, and also Zach Galifianakis from The Hangover. So there you go. Is there, that's
you know what's interesting about RDJ is that the fact that I mean you see it in this movie Due Date in Iron Man 2 or in both Iron Man and Iron Man 2, he plays the exact same character. It's just him being a. It's RDJ, so his character, him, his personality transcends in any role that he does. Kind of like what Jack Black does in any film. You know, it's Jack Black. He's always going to play that character.
Speaking of, you were mentioning the Jack Black movie, that the trailer that you saw, Gulliver's Travels, and you don't didn't do anything for you.
Why touch it?
Yeah,
it's Jack Black, and I mean, again, it's
well, I think what you mean by not why touch it is Gulliver's Travel is a classic. Story. It's not a movie. It's a story. Like, you know, Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn. It shouldn't be touched, especially not by Jack Black.
I mean, it's
that
any
sounded weird, but you guys know what I meant.
I mean, every role, every movie, film he's done, he plays that same crazy character, you know, that rocker. I mean, it's the same stuff I've seen every day. I mean, this movie has a little bit of Schoolhouse, what is it, the School of Rock?
Yeah.
A little bit of,
that actually,
Tenacious D.
I do like School of Rock.
You know, I did too. But again, it's just, it's, and I hear it's going to be in 3D as well. So again, there's no point to that. But, yeah, I'm just not, it, for me, it's a classic novel. Don't touch it.
And when I think, when I hear Gulliver's Travels, I don't think comedy.
Thank you.
It, but although I'll say this, but well, kind of, I had the same, trepidations, I'll put it that way, when Simon Pegg was cast as Scotty in the new Star Trek. Cause I said, well, yeah, okay, Scotty was funny. But he wasn't a comedian like Simon Pegg, kind of funny. And it, you know, it got a little annoying with that sidekick alien thing that he had. That Scotty never had that. I don't know where that came from. But, it was, it, plus the fact that it wasn't too much in the movie, just, you know, a quick, that one where he was stuck in the tube, that was not necessary at all. if JJ ever decides to do a director's cut, cut that out.
Yeah.
Cause that's not Scotty. We don't need that. It's not Star Trek. We don't need that. But same thing with this one. Gulliver's Travels is again. I don't think of Jack Black as a Gulliver.
No, you think of him as a comedian,
rocker guy, like you said,
comedian rocker.
School of Rock 2 supposedly is still coming, but that's been happening for the past what 3-4 years since it came out. The other one, Kung Fu Panda, that he did, that one is coming next year. Kung Fu Panda 2, the Kaboom of Doom, that one's coming.
Yeah.
But though it wasn't Jack Black, it was his voice, but still. But again, thanks again to the Brother Straws, Greg and Colin, directors of Skyline, which comes out next Friday, November 12th. But everybody knows that already, for coming on. Thanks again to Steve from Collider. He pretty much provided all the material for the show today. But a lot of good interviews from him, like he always does. And I like how he snuck in at the end the two questions on Sherlock Holmes 2 and Gravity.
Yeah.
See, he knows how to do it. That's why he's good at what he does. So again, thanks to Steve from Collider.com. And thanks to, of course, everybody from Due Date and Dwayne Johnson. From what was this movie again? Faster. See, I get it confused. They got to change the title. I get it confused with the Fast and the Furious sequel he's in also.
Yeah.
They got
to. Because isn't it called Fast 5?
I don't know. Fast 5, whatever. I don't even know what number they're on. Yeah. It's like Saw, like I said, it's just unending. So, anyway, we will be. Actually, we won't be back tomorrow because electricity is being turned off. No, we paid the bill. They're doing some repairs on the building next door, so we won't have electricity. It's kind of hard to have a computer on. When you don't have electricity.
Yeah.
So we'll probably replay today's show. It's a pretty good show. And we will be back live and in color and in 3D on Friday. So till then, enjoy your day. Bye bye.